can be all crazy and fanatical in worship and things like that, but your heart can be far from God. It's not about putting on a show, but it's about the overflow. And if it gets okay, then it gets there, right? So it's not about how emotional high you are about God all the time. Your emotions ebb and flow just like everything in your life. But a fervency is about a consistent desire that produces action. Amen. Don't get slothful, lazy in your desire that produces action of the Christian life. Keep the fire burning. Amen. You know, if you get into the Psalms, I love the Psalms. You know, if you can, you start on January 1st, and whatever y'all read the Bible, right? Okay, I'm just assuming that's a rhetorical question. I believe you do. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, on January 1st, whatever your Bible reading tendency is, if you start on January 1st and read Psalm 1, and it's the Psalm of the day, you can read through the Psalms twice a year and still have 65 days left over. I think it's a cool thing to do. But I love reading the Psalms, and the Psalms are extremely real life grit emotion. There's no punches pulled in the Psalms. I mean, it's real life stuff, right? And they can show their emotion desire. Psalm 42, verse number 1 and 2 says, as the hart or the deer panted after the water brooks or after the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Is your fire burning in such a way that you desire him like a deer would desire to have water? The daily sustenance of being able to drink and sustain life. Do you desire God in that way? You know? And it's an everyday application of consciously, deliberately living in connection with God. That's what it's about. That this fire within me causes me each day to consciously, deliberately live a life connected with God. Then and only then can God really do in you what he desires to do in you. Then and only then can the Holy Spirit do the work that only he can do in you. You can claim to be a Christian and live your life every day far from him. You know what I mean? Christianity isn't just about believing in God or having right beliefs about God, but how is your beliefs about God affecting your life? You know that. That God is ever desiring to break into your personal world. God is intensely personal, you know that? There's a big picture thing that's happening that God is saving all of creation. The yeast right now is working itself through the dough, right? And there's going to be a finality when he comes and a finality of the kingdom when he makes all things new. And it's the big picture of all of creation is going to happen, but that includes the very personal you. God is intensely personal with the person who will be intensely personal with him. Very personal. But are you living your life in such a way that he can be? Is the fire burning in you such a way that every day is a deliberate, conscious way of living, of being with him? You know what I mean? So Matthew chapter 16. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to jump in on some things with Peter and Jesus and some interaction here. And, of course, maybe a little bit of a famous passage that a lot of you will be familiar with. So Matthew 16, verse number 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man am? Or who do men say that I am? Verse 14, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Revelation hit Peter. He didn't gain this on his own, but revelation was coming, right? And he was right. There is a place in your life that revelation needs to hit home about who Jesus is. I mean, really who he is. There's a lot of stuff out there that people say Jesus is. Well, he was a great teacher, said a lot of great things, ethical things that you can, if you live by that stuff, you'll be a good person, right? There's some that say, well, yeah, he was a prophet, but like Jesus was asking there, and they kind of stopped there. Jesus was a great teacher. He was in the office of the prophet, right? But it didn't stop there. He is the living Son of God. And that revelation needs to hit home to you, but as we keep reading here, it doesn't stop there. Okay, so let's keep reading. So Peter responds with the great answer of revelation of who Jesus is. He's absolutely correct. And then verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, or the revelation of who Jesus is builds the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And by the way, that's a very great word of encouragement. As you are being built, as this church is being built, as the worldwide church is being built, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we all say, amen. All right. Verse 19. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever thou shalt loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples that they should not tell man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21. Now watch this. And from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto the disciples how they must go unto Jerusalem, how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now here comes Peter. Peter's got all the answers, doesn't he? At least he thinks he does. So he has this great